Thank you for listening to a River Life Fellowship podcast. We're a church family in North Carolina with a vision for people to experience the grace of Jesus, be filled with the Father's love, and to release the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's this week's message from Chapel Hill.
The Lord is releasing to us a sound mind. And I just love that example of as healing flows and we receive love. Here's the thing, guys. 2 Timothy 1:7 that we just looked at or we just talked about, we haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I don't think we can accurately get the mind of Jesus. Okay, so the sound mind is the mind of Christ, right? That's the perfect example of a sound mind. It's the mind of Christ. We can't have that mind until we have love. Love is a person, but love is something to receive. So this morning, I want to hit on that with you for just a few moments. Are you guys okay? We're going to have time to pray over each other and believe God that not only can we know about love, but that we can know love by experience. Love is something that just can't be a fact. It needs to be known. It needs to be received. It needs to be experienced. For years, there was this kind of daily rhythm that I had, and it was kind of like a prayer for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. But instead of that terminology, I would just be like, love, will you baptize me? Will you immerse me? Will you dip me? Will you consume me? Will you saturate me? In every word I could think of to the fullness of my being, I just wanted love to dominate.
Come on.
Because the love of God is beyond comprehension. 1 Corinthians 13, I don't have that up on the screen, but you guys know it from weddings, right? You know, wherever the people are in love, they're getting married. And Paul says this, or people have it crocheted, or what's that, not crocheted, cross-stitch. Yeah, who has a cross-stitch? Or 1 Corinthians 13. But think about this. But besides a cross-stitch or just a cliche phrase on a mirror, hear it in the context of this is what a sound mind is. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. By the way, we want to pray for Rhonda this morning. She lost a dear family member suddenly. I think it was a cousin. Rhonda, if you're watching, we're praying for you, standing with you in that pain and that difficulty right now. This is what love does. Even in the lowest moments, love is there. That's what it means to say that love never fails. It absolutely just never lets you down, does it? You know, last month, for those who are visiting or new, we had a guest speaker from the Charlotte area, a guy named John, who talked about how in the church over the past centuries, so let's just take the last 100 years, we've seen many moves of God centered around power. We've seen a lot of moves of the Holy Spirit that emphasize love, but now he wants to pour out a revival of a sound mind. Physically, the mental health crisis in America is like never before. It's just everywhere you turn, isn't it? And so isn't it just like Jesus to say, yep, here I am. For such a time as this, I'm that fourth man in the fire. Wasn't worship fantastic this morning, man? I'm having a hard time talking up here because I'm just kind of undone by his love never fails. He never gives up. It never gives up. Whew, it's just so deep. It's so good. We could just say the prayer and go home. But let me just touch on a couple things here. Because, like, okay, so we have this prophetic team. Thank you guys who are doing this. Some prophetically gifted people in here. And they met this week. And so what they're going after is, okay, Lord, what are you saying from heaven for River Life Chapel Hill for now, you know? And one of the things that come up, and I wasn't there, so I'm reporting the secondhand, but and there's probably a lot that came up. But one of the things that come up is there could be some tough times ahead, okay? And, you know, we see in part, we know in part, we prophesy in part. This was before last night, of course. And so there could be some tough times ahead. And here's what I immediately felt. Like, okay, Matthew, what did the first century Christians do in tough times? They leaned into love and they enraptured themselves in community. They stayed connected to the body. They stayed connected to meeting together. They stayed in fellowship, in union with one another as they were connected to love. As they were, because here's the thing, love can cause you to do some outrageous things. Okay, somebody be honest. Who did some crazy things when you were in love with a girl or in love with a guy? Like, just... Okay, the newlyweds over here, their hands are going up left and right, y'all. We'll do some outrageous stuff. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, even sort of dangerous. Like, because I just got to be with her. I just remember driving through a night one time, not the most recommended. Just trying to stay away. You know, the thing is that is just a minute example of the depths of the love of God that has gone out for you and goes out right this second. It's just incredible. And so I want to just encourage our hearts, even after this prayer and everything that Pamela just led us in, is don't let your mind loop on fear. Because John said perfect love drives out what? It drives out fear. Fear and love should not coincide. Receive a burden of prayer. You know, walk in the power of intercession. But just don't let your mind loop on fear. Are you with me on that? How many have, in your humanity, it tends to be a thing. Like, oh, man. Because again, look at Jesus, the mind of Christ, that's what you have, right? Do you see his mind looping on fear? I don't think so. He pressed into the heart of his Father. He knew who he was, my beloved Son, in whom I love, in whom I'm well pleased. The same is true for you. Let your mind loop on that. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. The sound mind from the Greek words, I've said this before, I want to remind you, come from safe and mind. Therefore, it's literally safe thinking. Safe thinking. The word denotes these three things: good judgment, disciplined thought patterns, very, very important, and the ability to understand and make right decisions. Let me say those again. Good judgment, disciplined thought patterns, and the ability to understand and make right decisions. Who like me really needs those three things? Lord, I need good judgment today and tomorrow and next week. I need the ability to make good and right decisions. I need the heart of my Father to be in tune, my heart to be in tune with his heart. I need to feel that he feels. I need to see as he sees. I want the mind of Christ. And how am I going to get there? I'm going to be loved, and I'm going to love as he has loved me. You know, you guys have all heard the sermons on agape, and one that's most resonates with us is from the Old Testament word chesed, or however you say that word. It's got to start to hawk something at the beginning. Chesed. You know, it's, what is that? What's the best synonym for chesed? Kindness, it's mercy, it's so much more than what we can really imagine or think of. Attachment love. And it's all through the Old Testament. If you take out your old trusty concordance, you can look up that word throughout the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, I think that agape, which is that Greek word that is most commonly used for love, is personified in what I just read in 1 Corinthians 13. That's the one that never fails. That's the one that keeps no record of wrongs. How many know that's hard to do? But possible only through the mind of Christ. That man that walked the earth, Jesus, he had that mind. He was just a little different, Jamar. You know what I'm saying? I say that because Jamar's like, that's different. You different, you know? He was different. There was something different about this man. And I don't know about you, but I want more of it. I want to be more like him. I want to see my brothers and sisters as he sees. And the world around me. I cry out for the peace of Jerusalem and for every life of Arab and Jew and Iranian. I was just with the Iranians. You remember? Just 12 precious people back in February. I just want the heart of God to reach. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. It's for the whole earth. Yeah, he is for us, for humanity. God have mercy. Amen. Let's read this one, Ephesians 3. You know, I gave you some key prayers. I think that was a couple of weeks ago. Who remembers those? There's one in Ephesians 1, and there's one in Ephesians 3, and then there's one in Colossians. I really like the Colossians one, and I've been praying those prayers over my mind every morning. And it just feels good. That's all I can say. It just feels good. Like that hot cup of coffee I like every morning. It just makes my body temperature go up. It's like the warm, you know, liquid going into that. These prayers kind of do this for me spiritually. It just kind of aligns my heart and helps me to really meditate and focus in on what God, I feel like God's heart is. And here's the Ephesians 3. I think this is just part of the prayer, actually, verse 16. He says, I pray. Everybody say, I pray. All right, I won't make you say the whole thing after me, but I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources. Now let that soak in for a minute. He's got unlimited resources. So let's just make a withdrawal for a minute from that bank account of his unlimited resources, that he will empower you, come on, with inner strength through his Spirit. How is he going to empower you? Through the Holy Spirit. He's going to empower you from his unlimited resources. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. I love that. I'm thankful that Jesus made his home in my heart. Such a powerful idea. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power, that's the dunamis that I spoke of on Easter Sunday, the resurrection power, the same power that brought that man Jesus out of the grave, dead. It brought him back to life, that same power. May you have that to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. There was a response in the room. Experience the love of Christ. Who first experienced the love of Christ like 50 years ago? Anybody? Dad did. 60? I should have started back. Ben, 50 years ago, put your hand down. You're only 19. I experienced it many times as a child, but this is kind of embarrassing to tell now because it's sort of silly at the moment. But I remember when I was 15 years old, my high school girlfriend broke up with me. You remember that, Mom? Yeah, and in that temporary despair, somehow I experienced the love of God. Like he just came into the room. You remember that, Mom? And I just remember that powerful, warming experience of like, I felt like another human being let me down, but he was there. It's an experience that every parent can tell their children about, but you can't. They got to have it for themselves. It's the experience that, like, Ben testified about last Sunday. Didn't he do a great job? Of just saying, hey, I found the dwelling place, y'all. I found the secret place for myself, Psalm 27. Man, what an answer to prayer. Because even preachers can't give it to their kids. Only God can give you that. Like, you have to experience, and this is what this love is like. Is you have to experience it for yourself, the love of Christ. Though, it's too great to understand fully. Oh, some type A personalities, that really drives you crazy. What do you mean I can't understand it fully? No, I think I got it. I think I understand all the concepts. No. Because you're a finite being. And we serve an infinite Father. We love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength the best that we can. But He loves us so much more. His love will go for all eternity and you'll never get to the end of it. That might drive you crazy, but it makes me fascinated. Like, oh, there's more? That's one of the reasons, by the way, I have a hard time accepting people's theology that kind of put God in this nice, neat box. You know what I mean? Like, okay, this is how it is. This is who He is. This is what it's like. And then, like, that box is closed. I don't know. God's bigger than that. Something just tells me. Something in my knower. Like, God is, His love is beyond the fullness to understand, to comprehend. Then you'll be made complete with these things, with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. All right, let me make three quick observations from these three verses or four verses. Number one is our lives were made to be rooted in love. To be rooted in love. And it's interesting because I think Benjamin already pointed out this point that I was going to make. Is who wants to be free from sin? Did you know that the greatest freedom from sin is love? Amen. Religion tells you something different. It says, well, if you just really press in, you do all the right things, you follow the principles, you'll be free from sin. It doesn't work. Why? Because love's not involved. You're going at it from your own self-effort. A lot of times you're so focused on sin that you're actually drawn right back into the very thing that you wish you were free from. But love has a different name. It has a different story. It says, Michael, come here. Let me love on you. What is Michael's heart response? Oh, when I've leaned in that much and love loves me that deeply, I don't have time for that dirty, stinking, rotten sin. I don't want to have anything wrong with that. See, when this girl right here, when she loves me like she loves me, why in the world would I ever want to look anywhere else? Do you understand my point? When deep love connects with you, I often use the sports analogy of the best defense, in this case against sin, is a good offense. When you got the puck, Evan, big hockey fan, or your team has the ball, the other team is not going to score. The best defense against sin is a good offense, and that offense is called love. We love because He first loved us. While we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us because He loved us. It all begins and ends with Him. So if you're struggling with a besetting sin or whatever, hey, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But here is a solution, because I empathize with your weakness or with your struggle or wherever. God cares, okay? What I'm praying for you this morning is that you get baptized in love, that you get so inundated and saturated that all of a sudden the chains just begin to fall off. He's like, well, that sounds kind of simplistic. And perhaps it is. There's some things to pray through. But love will take care of that. He's going to lead you in that. And then you surround yourself with the people that love you. And you say, hey, Eva, if you're like a woman or something, I saw her face first. You say, hey, Eva, will you pray for me? Will you stand with me in this? Because I'm having a really hard time. And Eva might say something like, yeah, well, you want to just pray together right now? Like, let's break off any agreement. Let's close any open door that may be there. Now lean into love. Are you guys all right? From my viewpoint, this is what it looks like to be rooted in love. Anna Grace likes the garden. She's planting some plants right now. Anybody else doing that? Because what does that plant need, Anna Grace? It needs nutrients. Spiritually, those nutrients, it needs roots that go down deep, right? We got to get those roots down deep. We got to be rooted in the nutrient of God's love and His grace. Number two is love is multidimensional. It says that God's people should know how wide, long, high, how deep, you know, all the dimensions of love. And Michael sent me this podcast this week that I listened to twice. And one of the things that the guest on that podcast, I can't remember her name, Michael, Rachel, says in there that I grabbed onto. I was like, well, I'm stealing that one. And she said, anytime that you want to know or you question what your view of your father is like, just think about the Galatians fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? It's the fruit of the Spirit. What is the Spirit? God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, faithfulness. I missed some. Thanks, Deanna. Long-suffering. You can go through the list there in Galatians 5. These are the multi-dimensions of what love is. So at the end of the day, I'm sitting back and saying, okay, what does love look like in me? Love looks like the fruit of the Spirit. This is who God is. This is what He is like. Love is multi-dimensional. Number three, I already hit this point. Love must be experienced. Some friends of ours, Jonathan and Melissa Helser, have this school for young adults called the 18-inch journey. Anybody know what the 18-inch journey means? It's approximately 18 inches from your head to your heart. And that's where they get that name from, is love has to go just from your head to your heart. Here's what's interesting is at the beginning of our passage, it says, I pray. Now, this is written to Ephesians, to the Ephesians. Who is Paul praying for? He's praying for the church. Usually churches have Christians in them, right? Right? People who believe Jesus is the Messiah. So he's praying that they would experience the love of Christ. That's a peculiar prayer because I would assume that if you're a Christian, you've already experienced the love of Christ. So what's the solution there? Well, maybe one of two things. Either there are Christians who have believed but have never experienced. And then there's Christians, probably this is all of us, who have experienced but need to experience more. That's what I raise my hand to for the altar call, is I just need more of your love. And again, what does your mind loop on? In other words, are there fears particularly that your mind tries to make you obsess over? Let love come into that loop and disrupt it. I'll be transparent. Mine is fear of failure. And I'm not looking for it. God bless you. You don't have to come to me afterwards and like, that was a great message, Pastor. And I mean, you can if you want, but I'm not looking for that. That's not why I'm saying this. I just really want to be honest because this is real. Because even at 5:30 this morning and this message today is, okay, what if I fail? Or a fear of the future. What if I haven't saved enough? Or what if these things don't work out? What if things that I saw happen to other, what if those happen to me? What if this spot is not good news? What? Hello, is anybody human in here? Am I being real? Am I speaking to anybody? Catch it. Catch those thoughts. Like, oh, whether I hit a home run in the message or I strike out, you know what? I'm loved. I know, I'm a son of the Father. Yeah, everybody could be snoring in the room and be like looking at their watch. Now, I don't want that to happen. Let me just be really honest. That would be bad. But it's at the end of the day, Father, are you pleased? Did I do what I felt like you told me to do and deliver what I felt like you were putting on my heart? That's good enough. Like she shared about Hannah Grace's basketball team who won the state championship. There was a girl, this is for those who weren't here, but I love this. There was a girl, they're freshmen, and this girl stepped to the free throw line in the last minutes where it's just a, by a hair. They're only up a couple points, you know, the other team's fouling to try to catch up. And she had been missing free throws the whole game. And she steps up there and just like, boom, boom, like money, money. And we win the game and go on to the state championship. That was in the semifinals. And I was like, how did she do that? Lamaya, where did that come from, you know? And so I went to the coach later on, like a couple days later. I was like, coach. No, I think it was the next game. I went to him. I was like, okay, coach, you got to tell me. In the huddle, when the timeout was called, what did you say to Lamaya? He said, here's what I said to her. Make them, miss them, I love you. Wow, that's some great coaching right there, isn't it? Make them, miss them, I love you. And you see, take that with you in your life. And sometimes you're going to make them. Sometimes you're going to miss them. Either way, you're loved. That's just what your Father is like. That's how he connects with us. So here's what I'm learning about the mind of Christ is that empowered by dunamis, by the Holy Spirit, I can actually be made aware of these thought patterns. So like he really helped me between 5:30 and 6. I was really like in that in-between state of really wanting to go back to sleep for just a few more minutes, but my mind was looping and it wouldn't let me. I see some people laughing because you're just like me. I know exactly, you know, and I'm like trying to go back to sleep, but my mind's sleeping like, oh, what's the use, you know. But I was able to quiet myself, do some deep breathing, and I'm like, oh, I can find the Holy Spirit here. And so then empowered by the Holy Spirit, I knew better, like those aren't God's thoughts. And so I let the mind of Christ rise up. And I knew, oh, he's going to bring people into some encounters with love. See, look at what John wrote to his beloved friends in the church. Now, I was reading this intro here. I'll just read it to you real quick. Again, I don't have this on the screen, but this is interesting because I was wondering, okay, what was this man, John, what was he experiencing with his people? And it says that John, no, that's the wrong John. Hold on. I clicked on the gospel instead of 1 John. There it is. The letter as known as 1 John was sent to a group of believers who were in the midst of an unsettling situation. Some of them had abandoned faith in Jesus the Messiah as it had first been taught to them. They found the proclamation that God had come in a human body impossible to reconcile with the common Greek idea that the flesh is evil and only spirit is good. But despite their denial of the Messiah, their immoral lives, and their lack of practical love, they claim to know God and belong to God. So John's coming in with a bunch of messed up Christians. And he was like, what we're about to read, he was saying, this is what love is, guys. This is what it looks like. 1 John 4:9. Look at what, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world, so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Everybody say real love. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us first. This is where real love comes from. It all begins with God. And sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Now let me jump down to verse 16. We know how much God loves us. And we have put our trust in his love. Didn't you love that song about trust? My trust, what is it? What's the, I trust in God. I trust in God. I was about to come unglued up here. You're probably like, yeah, we saw you. I don't care. Like David said, I'll be a fool. I'll become more undignified than this because I'm so in love. Love sick people do foolish things. To the natural eye, it looks ridiculous. I really can't dance. I'm really not, you know, I'm not that. I don't care because I love Jesus because I trust in God. And I just felt from the depth of my being, I trust you. I trust you, God. I trust you. And this is what I feel from John, this human being who's writing, we have put our trust in God. Why? Because God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid. Hello. We will not be afraid on the day of judgment. But we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. We live like Jesus here in this world. That is so profound. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. Michael's getting happy, I can feel it. Now, on the other hand, if we are afraid, it's for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. How many people grew up afraid of punishment? How many people grew up in the church afraid of punishment? Fear of hell. Fear of all these things. Right here, he says, we have perfect love expels all that. Because the other scenario, option is that if we're afraid because it's a fear of punishment, but this shows that we actually have not fully experienced his love. When I was growing up, preachers called it fire insurance. You know, people go down front for the altar call just because they're afraid of hellfire. And it's like, okay, on one hand, I get it. Like, that's not a completely bad motivation. But my experience is, because I did it, is it doesn't keep you. Yeah. Responding to God only based out of fear, and really I'm talking about something other than the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that's a holy, reverent, and heartfelt fear. Sometimes I have a hard time using the word fear for that expression because that's different than this fear that we're talking about here. This fear here where we're just so afraid of judgment. We're just so afraid that we're going to like, oh my God, I'll do anything. And I looped in my life in cycles of I'm sorry and did it again. I'm sorry. Here's me. I'm sorry, Lord. Here's me. Do it again. Oh, I'm sorry, God. Do it again. I'm sorry, God. It's like the cycle of the judges. And this is where I realized this one time. If you read the book of Judges, they do this. They're looping. It's like the Israelites in the wilderness. 40 years, it was maybe a 10-day trip. Why? They're looping. Why? Because their whole relationship was built on fear. Not on relational love, not on chesed. And so we have these loops. And unfortunately, I've discovered that this is in the church. And so therefore, we can never quite get into this sonship and this revelation of being a daughter and a son who's fully pleasing Because we're looping based upon a lot that has to do with the way that we were raised. And like, you're going to do the right thing or else. And I'm here to submit to you that that is not what your father is like. Because he loves you, because he loves you, because he loves you. And his love is not based on what you do or what you've done. It's based upon who you are. This is what love looks like. This is what love has done for us. Does that sound scandalous? Some people do call it scandalous love. But it is the love of the Bible. I'm not preaching to you some other gospel. This is the love that will keep you. This is the love that will sustain you. This is the love that will heal you. This is the love that will take you the distance. This is the love that can go to hell and back. This is the love that can be in the worst of circumstances. See, if you only love God because you don't want to go to hell, that's not enough. If you love God because you're afraid of his displeasure and anger towards you, that's not enough. After all, what kind of love is that? It's like, hey, Sarah Ruth, will you love me? What kind of love would that be? That's a scary love. Of course she's going to love me. What other choice does she have? This is not the love that our Father sent his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe. Are y'all all right? Okay. Love expels all fear. And the Bible says you've not been given a spirit of fear, but of love. Again, in order to have a sound mind, you cannot just know about love. You must experience love, true love, God's unconditional love, a love that says, I don't love you because of what you do. I love you because of who you are. Think about this. John wrote these words, and in Acts chapter 12, he had experienced the crushing trauma of his dearly and I think only brother James being beheaded by Herod. Undoubtedly under Emperor Nero's persecutions, he had experienced countless friends and fellow Christians experiencing hardship and death. How did he maintain a sound mind? Are you getting the point? How can you go through some of the most unimaginable traumas? Yet, this is the apostle. This is the one who laid his head on the Savior's chest. This is the one who had the revelation of Jesus Christ, you know, in the last book of our Bible. How did he maintain a sound mind? Through an experience. He loves us.
Thank you for listening to a River Life Fellowship podcast. To get more information, check out riverlifefellowship.com.